Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the compassionate, the most merciful. To all of our viewers out there, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon all of you. And thank you for joining us again in The Rational, the intersection of faith and reason, with our guest here, Dr. Ja'far Sheikh Idris. Dr. Ja'far, jazakallah khair, and thank you again for being with us here. Sheikh, last time we were speaking about disharmony between Islam and science, and we spoke about the fact that Islam would accept facts, whether they be in revelation or in creation. And you said that Islam is open to accepting scientific claims so long that proper evidence were used in the process. Yes. And after this, we spoke about the different theories and what have you. And now we're going to be talking about the philosophy of this Islamic science.
Our main problem is, in fact, with the philosophy. It is not with the method, it's not with the individual fact, it is not with theories. Our problem is with the philosophy of science. What do we mean by philosophy? Mm-hmm. We mean the system of belief, a system of belief that is made like a framework within which science is put. And a long time ago, I told some of my colleagues, some in a conference in the United States, that I believe that the prevailing system now, philosophical system in the world, is an atheistic and materialistic framework, by which I meant that this framework says that only facts that are natural or material are considered to be facts.
As a scientist, Sheikh, isn't that what a scientist would expect and accept?
It is because of this philosophy. It is because of this philosophy. And that that the world is self-sufficient, this world, self-sufficient in the sense that every thing that happens in this world must have, must be explained within the world. This is a natural phenomenon. It must be explained by another phenomenon. Any invocation of something outside the world, especially if it is God or so, makes the statement or the explanation unscientific. Now,
So this philosophy does not have God in mind as part of its framework.
Even if you are a believer, when you do science, you must assume this atheistic atheistic position. And of course, this is not something that is demanded by the method. Neither is it part of science. It is a framework within which science is put. Many people don't know this. Many people. It is some of the people who are called philosophers of science, they know this. I will give, inshallah, an example of that. So nothing outside this world should be invoked to explain something inside the world. So religion is ruled out by definition. I told some of them, I said, now you say there is a conflict between religion and science, but you created the conference.
When
you defied science in such a way as not to have any place for religion inside it. And then you blame religion for not being scientific. That is not fair.
Was that a reaction in Western philosophy to the fact that the harmony that we see in Islam between science and religion was not necessarily there?
It could be, but my interest was not in why this was claimed. I am just stating a fact that this is what is called now the philosophy of science. And this philosophy is so influential that I think it is behind the insistence of many of the scientists on atheism. They don't want to see anything in the world that points to a creator, because this is against this framework, because the framework is atheistic. So they don't want anything to interfere with this and say, no, it should not be atheistic because there is a creator.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, they can go to the extent of denying anything, even if there is what you might call scientific evidence for it. Yeah, for example, I give the example of praying and rainfall.
Hmm.
We as Muslims, as believers in the Creator, and even some other people, I was surprised when I was in the United States to find that some Christians do the same. They pray so that rain may fall.
Hmm.
So, if a scientist sees this happening 5 times, 10 times, 100 times, he sees people praying, rainfall. He will not consider this as an explanation of rainfalling. Why? Because in his system, he cannot link this with this. There is no link. You are linking it because you believe that there is a creator and everything is in his hands. You pray to him, you ask him to send rain. He sends rain. And there can be an explanation for the falling of rain from this cloud and so on, so on. But he doesn't see any link between this praying and
the rain that took place.
Rainfall. He has to say that this is just by chance that and so on. So this is our problem with the philosophy of science. There was recently. And this is this is not just something theoretical. I give you an example. Someone, when I was in the United States, I read this book called Darwin's Black Box. Darwin's Black Box. This was a professor of microbiology. He's Catholic, I think. Now, this professor said that this microbiological, these microorganisms were not known at the time of Darwin. So for Darwin, they are a black box.
Hmm.
Now, then he made the further claim that the theory of Darwinian theory of evolution cannot be applied to them. Why? Because no part of them develops. They do not start as when things develop, they start, there's an initial stage of the thing, then it develops and develops, and the thing is complete. He said that when you look into the nature of these microbiological entities like the cell, you can see that no part of them leads to the other. They are made, designed, he used the word designed.
Mm.
They are designed from the beginning to serve a certain purpose.
Interesting.
So they do not evolve. They do not evolve. And he likened this to a mouse trap. This that old mouse trap where the mouse gets into... to eat something that is inside something like a box,
okay,
or something, okay. Yes, and it falls and so on. He says if you look into this mouse trap, you can see that it was designed to catch these mice, so it doesn't develop. This was his theory, and he called it, and it was called, I think, theory, design or something, and that there must be a designer. So many believers, Christians, liked this idea, and some of them said that this theory must be studied. We must give our students, our pupils, the chance to study this along with the theory of evolution. Mm. And the board of a school in Pennsylvania decided by majority that this should be taught in the school. Mm. But the minority was against this. Resort to the court to prevent this, and the court ruled in their favor.
In the favor of the minority.
Of the minority. Mm. Why? They said that this theory, they consulted so many people and so on, and they decided that this theory is not scientific. Why? Because of what I have just said. Uh-huh. Because they said that this theory talks of a designer, and by the designer, this is just another word for God. And no scientific theory should involve something like God to explain something in the world.
And this was rejected on the basis that it does not fit within the framework of
the philosophy. Because,
I'm sorry, but this is really getting very interesting at this point. So please do hold on to that thought until we come back from our break. Please stay tuned, and we will be back soon, inshallah.
Be proactive.
How to be proactive in Islam, how to serve our religion, how to serve our life.
No, we want them to be proactive in matters that are related to their ummah, the true leader. And this is maybe we need to have this, okay, among us as Muslims. The true leader is the one who creates leaders.
So the society at the time of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, gave the chance for the children
exactly.
to blossom.
Now who took the reward of this? The initiative of Ali bin Abi Talib. Ali bin Abi Talib took the reward because of his initiative.
How long have you been passive? How much time have you lost in your life because of negativity? Learn how to take conscious control over your life. Set your goals and work to achieve them in an Islamic way.
If you really love your wife, your children, your parents, your people, then you have to do your utmost. You have to do whatever you can in order to invite them to Islam. We are in need for this reminder. The main point is ikhlas, is sincerity, is what I want to get in the hereafter.
Join Sheikh Haytham Al-Haddad and his host, Muhammad Abdurrahim, in this inspiring show.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, and welcome back again to The Rationale, the intersection of faith and reason, with our guest here, Dr. Ja'far Sheikh Idris. Dr. Ja'far, you were talking about intelligent design, and you were telling us the story of how this was rejected to be taught in a school in Pennsylvania because it did not fit that philosophy or that frame of work that scientists work by.
Yes, and this is a very good example of something that is rejected, not because it violates, it is not made according to the scientific method. Because this man made a claim which is apparently a scientific claim. And a scientific claim can be false because it is a claim. But then you should, if you criticize the claim, you can say that your claim is false because of this, because of this, because you don't say we reject it because it involves intelligent design. Because the man is saying that if you look into the nature of these organisms, you can see, and he goes into the details. I am not a scientist, but I read the book. If you go into the nature of these things like the cell, you can see that they cannot evolve. And you can see that they must be designed. So to give a rational falsification of this or objection to it, you can say no, this does not follow, because these can evolve. Your argument is wrong, and so on. But to say that because you said that this points to a creator, then your claim is not scientific. Does this mean that even if there is proof evidence, even if there is clear evidence of something in the world pointing to its creator, you still deny it because it should not do so? And that's why some of them were very embarrassed by the theory of the Big Bang, as we referred to last time. Mm-hmm. Because the Big Bang says there was nothing and then there was something. So this was a problem for many scientists. Where did this come from? And this opened the question of the creator. Because if there was nothing and then something came into existence, the question arises, where did it come from? How did it come to be? And so on. So they didn't like this. Some of them rejected the theory because of this kind of philosophy of science.
Interesting. Sheikh, I remember one time we were at school and somebody was studying a book, and somebody came over and leaned and said, what are you studying? And he said, I'm studying Tawheed, asserting the oneness of the creator. Mm. And when we looked at the cover of the book, it said, the cell. Mm. And somebody said, how can that be? Mm. And it goes back to the fact that there is no dichotomy in Islam in that creation and revelation aspect of getting that knowledge.
I think the problem might be as what you said, because many of these people in the West know that there are factual mistakes in what they call scripture. And therefore, they don't have any trust. They don't want to bring this into science. But now this man is not saying that I am saying this because it's in scripture. I am saying it because there is what I consider to be
enough evidence,
scientific evidence, evidence for it. So that's why, just like what we are talking about when we talk about democracy, we will say that people should think for themselves. Here we also suggest that people, you know, Muslims, should have their own philosophy of science. Now, we will not, some people, the moment you say this, I suggested this some time ago, the moment you say it, some people will say, just as in democracy, if you criticize democracy, people think that you are
pro-dictatorship.
Now, if you this philosophy is wrong, then some people will say, you want to distort the scientific facts to make them suit your religion. No, my religion doesn't even allow me to distort scientific facts, because if I distort scientific facts, I will not be honest even to my religion. So what is the framework that we are saying? We want this framework to be Islamic, mm-hmm. in the sense that we will say, as Muslims, that unlike the secular people, we have two sources of knowledge. They have only one source, and we agree with them that it is a source, the world. How to get facts from the world according to the scientific method, we accept that. But we say that there is another source for which we have rational evidence, and that is the word of the Creator. Mm. So if I want to build a science of anything, I should get facts from both sources, especially when if I am talking about something that relates to human beings, like the psychology,
sociology.
Yes, something like this, because there is much in religion about psychology, about sociology, about economics, and so on. So on. Therefore, my discipline should be built on facts drawn from both sources. So I will accept as a fact I will accept it as a fact, as a true fact, if I find any conclusive evidence for it, either in this source or in that source. And I think in this way, when I wrote this, some people who were they were in California also. They specialize in summarizing interesting articles, and they wrote to me. They said, "We want you to summarize this article for us because we send it to thousands of people." So of course, I was very glad that they will do this, and I complied with what they told me. It might be that they were Christians. I mean, I don't know. But there is room for this. We should not always be just imitating people in the West.
Very fascinating, Sheikh. This is the last question here, as time we're running out of time here. I think earlier you alluded to, even in the Western world, most scientists, I think you said that, were actually believers. You quoted Newton, who was a believer, believe Einstein, and other people who were believers. And I'm just wondering, where does that framework come from, even though a majority of these scientists were actually believers? Yeah,
this man that I talked about, by the way, he's called Professor Behe, B-E-H-E, who wrote this book. He said that the percentage of believers, unlike he said what many people think, he said that the percentage of believers in the scientific community is just like the percentage of it in the larger community. Because many people think that the majority of scientists are atheistic. And he said that this is not true. I don't know, but I blame their religious beliefs. I blame their religious beliefs. You see, had it not been for the fact that in spite of the defects that find in the religion, had it not been for the fact that they feel, and this is natural, that a person cannot live without religion. Had it not been for this fact, I think that most people would have become atheists. But a person might say, I'm not sure that this is what Jesus said, I'm not sure that this is true, but there is much in the rest of the book that is very good. It talks about morality, it talks about life after death, it talks about God, and what is the alternative? Is the alternative atheism? To say that there is no God, there is no life after death, that therefore there is no even good basis for morality and so on. The alternative is not acceptable. So that is why I think many people stick to it. And I think this is good. I personally think that this is to be a Christian or a Jew, to be Jewish is better than to be an atheist.
Sheikh, with all the invitations that are in the Quran to go and reflect and look around and what have you, I'm wondering if there is a limit that Islam puts as to what science can explore.
What
limits? Are there any limits that Islam would put, saying that that's where science stops and that is the end of it?
I don't think that science, as it is, and there can be such a limit as far as science as it is understood today. I don't think that there can be, because it is dealing with the natural world, and there is no problem. In fact, I think if there were good Muslim scientists, they would investigate and deal with certain problems that the Quran raises. Because science, as we studied in the philosophy of science, is very much influenced by the culture. I mean, it is the culture that sometimes poses the questions, and you go and find scientific answers for them. And for example, a question that very much interests me, and I would have looked for a scientific explanation for it if I were a scientist, is the fact that the Quran likens a resurrection of bodies to the something like the resurrection of barren land. Mm-hmm. In what way is this barren land
similar to the?
I would have discussed, gone and studied something like this. And there are many similar things, something that happened in history. Or so, for example, many scientists now, some scientists, I must say, studied some of the stories that were mentioned in the scripture, like that of Noah's Ark. And they said that they found something which might be remnants of Noah's Ark. In fact, one of my friends, you know him, the late Mahjoub Ibed, he was a very intelligent physicist. He told me once that someone wrote about this, and he said that these remnants of the ark were found in an area mentioned in the Bible, and the exact spot mentioned in the Quran.
Interesting.
Yes.
Interesting.
So I would have investigated and looked into things like this.
Good. Well, we're hoping that some of our viewers out there, Muslim scientists, have heard this by Sheikh Ja'far and look into some of these answers. Sheikh Ja'far, as always, it's been a pleasure being with you, and thank you for being with us here today. And with this, we come to the conclusion of this part of our program, thanking you for joining us and hoping that you would join us the next time as well. Until then, we say so long, and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.